Good morning, church. We're low in numbers, but we're mighty in spirit. Welcome to worship at Trinity United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We got a lot of things starting to happen. I want to remind you about the CPR training, Tuesday, March 28th. That's getting closer and closer, 5:30 to 8:30. Probably meet in the chapel, and it's $5 if you want to take the class. If you want to be certified for some other reason, it's $30, and you can just let us know that at the time. We also have Austin Glover's concert coming up, and we have some flyers on the credenza. If you want to take a few and put them around town or at your workplace, let people know about this. And I'm also asking folks, if they will, to bring some homemade cookies and something to drink, tea, lemonade, fruit punch, whatever. So that sign-up sheet is on the post, along with the post for the Easter breakfast. And also, there's a Easter egg hunt on the first Saturday. The first Saturday, which would be April 8th, that morning, 9 to 10. And then if you'd like to help decorate the sanctuary with the Easter flowers, you're welcome to come at 1:30 that day to help put the flower, to arrange the flowers that have been donated, or borrowed, we could say, from folks who want to participate in beautifying this wonderful sanctuary. Now, tomorrow is prayer in the sanctuary at 2:30. However, there is no confirmation class. It is spring break. But we will have shake class at 6:30. And then that'll finish out the rest of the week until we come again on the 26th. And there won't be Sunday school that morning either. There's no Sunday school today because of spring break. And I think that's all the things I have to share. Except, of course, if you want to donate flowers, you have this little sheet to fill out and turn in. Also, if you have not completed a bridge team survey, the council would like for we to have a few more responses. We had 19 out of over 100. So if you didn't do that, just take a minute before you leave the building today and complete one of those bridge team surveys. There's a stack of them on the credenza next to the bulletins. Any other information you would like to share with one another? Then let us share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I invite you to stand and let's sing together our welcoming song, O Radiant Christ Incarnate Word. It's number 168 in your hymnal. Thank you. Let's join in our invitation to worship. Once we lived in darkness. Once we walked stumbling and falling without direction. Once we were unable to see. Grace of Jesus, our Redeemer, who opens our minds and eyes to see the wondrous gifts of God's love. Let's continue with our morning prayer in unison. Source of light, God of great mercy and love, we come to you today seeking restoration of our sight. Clear away our blindness and give us a new vision of all that we can accomplish in your name. Give us strength and confidence to witness to your abiding love and faithfulness. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light." He said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes and said, "Go wash at the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and saw. Soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, "Why, isn't he this the man we knew who sat here and begged?" Others said, "It's him, all right," but others objected, "It's not the same man at all. It just looks like him." He said, "It's me, the very one." They said, "How did your eyes get opened?" "A man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' I did what he said. When I washed, I saw." "So where is he?" "I don't know." They marched the man to the Pharisees. The day when Jesus made the paste and healed his blindness was the Sabbath. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he had come to see. He said, "He put a clay paste on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Obviously this man can't be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath." Others countered, "How can a bad man do miraculous God-revealing things like this?" There was a split in their ranks. They came back at the blind man. "You're the expert. He opened your eyes. What do you say about him?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews didn't believe it, didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. So they called the parents of the man, now bright-eyed with sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? So how is it that he now sees?" His parents said, "We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind. But we don't know how he came to see. Haven't a clue about who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's a grown man and can speak for himself." His parents were talking like this because they were intimidated by the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who took a stand that this was the Messiah would be kicked out of the meeting place. That's why his parents said, "Ask him. He's a grown man." They called the man back a second time, the man who had been blind, and told him, "Give credit to God. We know this man is an impostor." He replied, "I know nothing about that one way or the other, but I know one thing for sure. I was blind, I now see. They said, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I've told you over and over, and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples? With that, they jumped all over him. You might be a disciple of that man, but we're disciples of Moses. We know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea where this man even comes from. The man replied, this is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is, he opened my eyes. It is well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does God's will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They said, you're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us? Then they threw him out on the street. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. He asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man said, point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him. Jesus said, you're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice? Master, I believe, the man said, and worshiped him. Jesus then said, I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. Some Pharisees overheard him and said, does that mean you're calling us blind? Jesus said, if you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure.
May God bless that reading as well as your hearing. It is indeed God's holy word. Today we're going to be visited by that man who was born blind. I've been born blind. I'd been blind since birth, begging at that same corner all my life. Everyone knew me. I mean, it wasn't unusual to hear that question that Jesus' disciples asked as they passed by. I mean, I heard it so many times that I wanted to close my ears to the answer. See, our rabbis taught that all suffering was a result of one's own sin, or at least the sin of one's parents. I mean, they even believed that a person could sin while they were still in the womb. I just lowered my head when I heard it, and I turned my back to the crowd, trying to be a little less conspicuous. Yet I nearly fell over when I heard Jesus say, neither. This happened so God's glory can be displayed in this person's life. What? God's glory displayed in my life? I mean, I couldn't even imagine such a thing. So many like me suffered without reason or cause. All we could do was rail at God, asking, why did this happen to me? What have I done? See, I knew all about those feelings. Of course, I now know that the best way to deal with disease or tragedy or handicap is simply to ask God to give us strength to endure it, a deeper understanding of its meaning, and then use it for God's glory. But that was way beyond my ability then. I mean, I couldn't fathom how God's glory could be demonstrated in the darkness of my situation. But I quickly turned in his direction as he continued, as long as it is day, we have to do the work of the one who sent me. Night's coming when no one will be able to work. So while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And at the time, those words didn't make any sense to me at all. See, I had no understanding of the difference between night and day. I didn't know how important light was. Jesus was speaking about the need to use the light and the time that we've been given to accomplish all that we can for God's kingdom. Yes, and as Christians, we are called to bring light and sight to blind eyes in ways that will display the love, the grace, and the glory of God. We could easily see darkness maybe closing in around us, so we might be the only ones who can bring new light on each situation to help others see the light. We do need to use every opportunity we can to shine the light and the power of Christ that Christ has given us to make a difference in the lives of others. That's what Jesus did for me. But how could I even know the light of the world was standing before me? And then Jesus knelt on the ground beside me and spit into a small amount of dirt in his hand. I have to say, the power of his presence was so strong. I couldn't speak or move. And then without saying a word, he began to moisten my eyes with the mud that he had made. And I just let him do it. I knew a power greater than I could even imagine was at work. Well, after anointing my eyes, he told me to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I did. And when I came out, I could see. Everyone was amazed, yet maybe not the way you'd think. There was no joy or praise or thanksgiving before God, only fault finding. You know, sometimes it seems like our human nature gets stuck in a negative perspective, and we won't allow ourselves to see all the good things around us. Church, we have to be careful how our perspective can direct us to see only the negative rather than the positive blessings when something wonderful occurs. Are you the same man who used to sit and beg, they asked? Yes, I replied, I am. You know, some believed me, yet others said no. I only looked like that man, and I insisted I was the man. Well, how were your eyes opened, they asked. A man called Jesus made some mud, put it in my eyes, and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I did, and now I can see. Well, where is this man, they asked, as if they wanted to lynch him. You know, have we ever noticed that when a person begins to function, you know, kind of outside the box of standard expected human behavior, how quickly a mob mentality can take over? And then the decision makers decide this person must be wicked and evil, and so they're seldom even given the slight benefit of the doubt. Well, I don't know, I said. Jesus had disappeared, and I knew why. It was the Sabbath. He'd broken the law. By making mud, he was guilty of work, and healing was forbidden on the Sabbath. I mean, medical attention could be given if someone's life was in danger or to keep a person from getting worse, but not to make a person better. And clearly, I wasn't in danger of losing my life, so Jesus had broken the Sabbath by making mud and healing me. And my newly acquired vision caused such an uproar. My accusers literally drugged me before the Pharisees, who went through that same series of questions and insinuations. And finally they asked, what do you have to say about him? Without hesitation, I claimed, well, he's a prophet. I mean, what else could he be? I already knew what the Pharisees thought of Jesus. And I also knew that if it came out that I was on his side, then I'd be excommunicated. But I didn't even care. What difference did it make now that I could see? So I had to be truthful. I did believe in him, and I would stand by him because of what he had done for me. Still, those Pharisees didn't believe I was really the man who had been born blind. They said Jesus and I had conspired somehow and faked a miracle between us. They said that false prophets could practice false miracles and for false purposes. They were so suspicious. They even sent for my parents and they asked, is this your son who's been born blind? How is it he can now see? Yes, they answered, he is our son. He was born blind. But we don't know how. We don't know how he can see or who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself. You know, I don't know whether my parents believed Jesus healed me or not. I do know that they were afraid. See, that the Sanhedrin had a powerful weapon called excommunication that will cut people off from God and God's people. So my parents said I was old enough to be a legal witness and I could speak for myself. So the Pharisees called me in again, and by this time, I think I'd had enough. I knew what they were trying to pull. I wanted no part of it. I mean, they were actually browbeating me, saying, "You have to give the glory to God. This man is a sinner." Now, give the glory to God was a phrase that was always used in cross-examination of a witness, which meant speak the truth in the presence and in the name of God. They said, we have decided Jesus is a sinner. So you agree with us. I don't care what you say about him, I said. I don't know whether he's a saint or a sinner. I only know that I was blind and now I can see. I really couldn't express in theologically correct language who I believe Jesus to be. I only knew what he had done in my soul. I knew in my heart I'd been changed. I was, yet was really not, that man who used to sit and beg. I mean, I was no longer helpless, handicapped, invalid, depending upon others for my every need of my life. I no longer felt despised because actually I had a new life. I had new hopes and dreams and possibilities and responsibilities too. Well, what did he do to you? They asked. How did he open your eyes? I couldn't even begin to tell them what Jesus had done to me. I mean, they just wouldn't understand. Besides, why should I? Especially if they were going to use it against him. I've already told you, I said. You didn't listen. Why do you want me to say it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? You know, I probably shouldn't have made that last remark. I mean, but did they think that I was still so blind that I couldn't see what they were doing? You know, yes, I'd been born blind, but not stupid. Besides, when a person truly wanted, like I suddenly did, to be his disciples, it would be hard to explain or even understand all that Jesus could and would do in my life. What is Jesus doing in our lives, all our lives? What blindness is he wanting to release us from? And are we going to allow Jesus to open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds? Well, annoyed, because they had no answer for my argument, they became rather abusive, insulting me and Jesus by saying, "So, you're this guy's disciple. Well, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for him, we don't even know where he came from." Oh, church, we need to be so careful that we never speak or act abusively toward those who are different from us, those who have different experiences and needs, those who express their faith differently than we do. Rather than attack or defend our traditional viewpoints, how can we learn to listen and learn from those who live and speak and experience life differently? "Well, that's remarkable," I replied. "You don't know where he came from. Yet he opened my eyes. Can't you see? God speaks to those who seek to do God's will." I mean, what could be more God's will than opening my eyes? And if he weren't from God, he could do nothing. "You were steeped in sin at birth," they retorted. "How dare you lecture us?" They actually accused me of that prenatal sin while I was still in my mother's womb. And then, resorting to force, they threw me out of their presence. I didn't even care. I'd been blessed with sight and an awareness of God's presence and power within me. And as soon as Jesus heard about that they had thrown me out, he came looking for me. And when he found me, he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Well, immediately, of course, I recognized his voice. With rapture, I then beheld the face of the one who had given me sight and, yes, new life. His eyes, his voice, his attitude, his presence were all so beautiful, so different from those self-righteous judgment that I'd seen and heard in the eyes and voices and attitudes of the Pharisees. "Who is he, sir?" I asked. "Tell me so I can believe in him." "You've seen him. In fact, he's speaking to you right now." Oh, yes, I had. I had heard and I had seen him, and I loved him. My Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord. "Lord, I do believe," I said, as I fell at his feet in worship. He said, "I've come into the world for judgment, so the blind will see, and those who see will be blind." Such lovely words, "so the blind will see." You know, a person doesn't have to be physically blind to not be able to see. Because I received so much more than physical sight that day. I was given spiritual insight and knowledge and power to be what I could never have been without the light of Jesus in my life. And I wanted everyone to know what he had done for me. It didn't matter what the consequences were, and yes, there were consequences. I know firsthand that persecution will often follow whenever a person decides to follow Christ. That one might lose friends or family members or even one's life. Yet no person or thing can ever take away the peace and the power that Jesus gives us. You know, some Pharisees heard what he said and asked, "Well, are we blind too?" And he said, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty of sin." Oh, that was it. The acknowledgement that I had waited a lifetime to hear. Blindness and pain and suffering, loneliness, estrangement, disability, whatever brought human judgment was not the result of sin. My sin, my parents' sin, or anyone else's sin. Human judgment is not important in God's kingdom. Our suffering gives God the opportunity to display God's love, God's glory, God's power. So allowing God to use the difficult situations in our life actually brings glory to God's name. That's what's important in God's kingdom. So when we are in pain, we can know that God sends Jesus to look for us, to bring us comfort and assurance, new vision and new power. You know, in some ways, at Trinity, we may feel like we're in sort of a season of darkness. I mean, we really aren't able to see what lies ahead. And our challenge is to believe that God will use this time to bring healing and hope and a clarity of our vision, our desires, and our purpose. See, by claiming to see perfectly and refusing to acknowledge the darkness of their vision, that kept the Pharisees' sin intact. They could only see their way of honoring God and believed it was the only way to honor God. So I guess they were stuck in their traditional understandings. For the first time in my lifetime, in all our lifetimes, it feels like we're being called by God to find new ways to be God's church. Now, we may have a lot of questions, our fears, concerns, yet in order to let go of our blindness, we have to first be willing to see things differently. So we need to open our hearts and minds so we can receive new sight and find new ways to be church. But those Pharisees thought they had some kind of special corner on God's acceptance. So by refusing to admit that they needed a new vision and a new sight, they were still stuck in their darkness. But the question is, how will we, as Trinity United Church of Christ, begin to live into a new vision and find new sight and new life that Jesus stands ready to offer us? Let's just be open to new and different ways to be God's church and to welcome the things that God is doing and wants to do with us and for us and in us and even through us. And all God's beloved people said together, amen. Our song of prayer this morning is again Leaning In. We will continue to sing this through Lent. It's a recording by Reverend Dr. Christopher Grundy. Words will be on the screen. I invite you to sing along or even to hum along. What joys or thanksgivings or blessings do you bring with you to worship this morning? No joys, no blessings, no thanksgivings. Well, that's fun. I'm joyful that Austin Glover's coming. He's a friend of Paul and mine, and we are just impressed with his clear voice and desire to be a gospel musician. So I'm hoping you'll feel the same hope for his coming. I hope that we'll be able to welcome him and, you know, just give him the best opportunities among us. So that's why I've asked for cookies and drink. You know, if we can put a great spread out for all of us from the men's fellowship or the women's guild, then certainly we could do the same for the community. So I'm hopeful and I'm joyful and I'm excited. But how about concerns? Whom do we need to lift in prayer this morning?
I have a concern.
Yes, sir.
I have a concern that our church needs to see that vision. We need to open our eyes. And it was a fitting end of your message this morning that we do need to open our eyes and prepare what God has planned for us.
Yeah, we should be praying for a new vision. We should be praying for the bridge team as they do their work behind the scenes. Which reminds me, the timeline is on the tables. Please take a moment before you leave the building to write something significant that has occurred in your life or the life of this congregation during the past, 60 plus years. Thank you, Mark, for naming. We need to be a little more open to new vision, let go of our understandings of what church has always been to what church can be in the lives of others. Just like those others that we sing about in Leaning In. Any other needs or concerns? Well, if not, I invite you to take a deep breath and welcome God's presence into your heart and mind. Be glad to be in God's house today. Another deep breath to acknowledge that God's kingdom is more important than any other kingdom in which we exist. And finally, that third deep breath to intentionally bind our hearts and minds together into one voice, one passion, one need, one desire to be all that God hopes that we can be and will be, to see God's preferred future for our congregation. Most loving and most gracious God, you have blessed us, and you want to continue to do so. You do want us to see with new sight, to understand in new ways all the ways you want to not only bless us, but every person we encounter. We know, God, that you want us to be light in darkness, to give a hope where there's only despair, to give joy where there is depression. And God, we We do want to be those instruments of your hope and peace. Yet we know we can't do it without your presence within us and your power within us and your desire for us to be able to touch and inspire and make a difference in the lives of those, everyone we encounter. God, we're asking you to give us a new vision for our future as a congregation. We believe that you have a preferred vision or hope or intention for this congregation to be more than it's ever been and to reach out to so many folks in this community that don't have a connection, a spiritual connection with you or others. So guide us, lead us, direct us, God. We want to pray your blessings that our bridge team can see beyond whatever reality is right in front of our face. And they can see beyond what we've always been to something that you have in store for us. So we ask you to bless them, to open their hearts and minds and lives to your presence in new ways. God, we ask you to bless Austin as he prepares to come to sing for us and with us. Lord, just empower and strengthen him, inspire him to be able to inspire us, to encourage us, and to remind us who we are, your people, who've been blessed and who've been given responsibilities to make a difference in the lives of others. God, you've blessed us in so many ways, sometimes we don't even remember or acknowledge all the ways that you provide for us, not just a little bit, but so abundantly. So God, forgive us for not focusing on all your goodness and all your gifts and all your desires for us, and help us see with new eyes, hear with new ears, understand with new minds, so that we might become all we can be for your glory and your honor. And as always, God, we're thankful for this privilege as well as the power of prayer, along with that promise that you've always heard our prayers, and even now you've already begun to respond to prepare the hearts, the minds, and the lives of those with whom you have no connection. We're thankful because we pray all of our prayers, whether they've spoken aloud or whether they've been uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the glorious power of your Holy Spirit and the blessed name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. For he's the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, when God performs a miracle in our lives, we might even struggle about how to even begin to pay it forward as a way to thank God for giving us a new sight, new understandings, new hopes, new dreams, new attitudes. So it's always much more than God giving us sight, because those gifts are only the beginning of becoming a completely new person or a congregation. So, but I'm convinced that God wants to gift this congregation with a new sight and a new vision and a new hope, a new understanding, new dreams, new hopes, new ways of being church in this community. But the question may be, are we ready and willing to allow God to lift that stigma of blindness and our stubbornness of clinging to the ways we've always done things so that we can experience and see ourselves in a new light, that have new ways and new connections with this community. So our giving is often the beginning of our willingness to let go of what's always been welcome, been to welcome what is new. And I believe that blind man, who no longer needed to beg for his living, possibly gave Jesus all that he had for the blessing of becoming Jesus' disciple. But what about us? Let's pray our prayer of dedication, to thank God for the blessings we've received and to ask God to bless the offerings that we make today. Gracious Lord, as followers who are blinded by your wondrous light, we seek to be amplified beacons of your astonishing light to others. Help us to reflect your love by listening to your call and to your will for our lives. In gratitude, we dedicate these gifts in the name of the one who lived, died, and rose again for our sake, Jesus Christ. Amen. So it was a little bit of a stumbling this week when I was not able to find a piano or organ copy of I Saw the Light. So we're going to sing it to a YouTube video by Josh Turner. And this was my attempt to find the least country-sounding version of this song that you may know. So let's stand and sing together, I Saw the Light.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more light. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for. Blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw.
Have our blessing to go forth responsibly. Let us go into the world carrying the light of Christ into the darkness. Let us go forth always ready to receive God's love and care so we can share that love and care with others. Let us go forth to walk in the light of Christ all the days of our lives. Amen.